Chapter 12, The Four Yogas, Four Spiritual Disciplines. Human beings are separated from Godhead, the Supreme Self, by vasanas. Vasanas manifest as thoughts and desires. Root out your desires, thoughts, vasanas, you become one with Godhead. The union of your individual self with the Supreme Self is yoga. The merger of the conditioned consciousness, the ego, with the pure unconditioned consciousness. Yoga is derived from the Sanskrit root yuj. Yuj means to join, to unite. The Shastra, scripture, has prescribed four yogas for the eradication of vasanas. Bhakti yoga, path of devotion, Jnana yoga, path of knowledge, Karma yoga, path of action, Hatha yoga, path of compulsion. These four spiritual disciplines have been designed to suit the four distinct categories of humans, classified according to their inner nature. Their natures depend upon the relative strengths of their mind and intellect. Thus, there are the emotional, intellectual, active, and the indolent classes of people. Following the respective discipline, an aspirant can gradually reduce his desires, prepare himself for meditation, leading to the ultimate state of self-realization. The one who belongs to the emotional cadre has the mind more pronounced than the intellect. His heart predominates over his head. He is more impulsive, emotional, devotional, less rational, intellectual, contemplative. He gives in to his feeling and emotion. The mind rules his personality rather than the intellect. Such a person is designed for the path of devotion, bhakti yoga. He would need a form, an altar, a personal guard to pour out his love. His mind revels in the remembrance of the Lord of his heart. The devotion to his Lord displaces all other feeling and thought. Consequently, his mind is focused upon the higher with sustained devotion. The devotee becomes free of his desires. The second type is the intellectual, whose intellect is more developed than the mind. His head predominates over his heart. He is more analytical, rational, less impulsive, emotional. His intellect controls the passions of his mind. He remains objective, does not succumb to his feeling and emotion, is logical in his approach to life. An inquirer perceives the distinction between the terrestrial and the transcendental, but he will not be satisfied merely positing a personal guard, does not take things for granted. He needs logic and reason to accept anything. A person of such caliber is suited for the path of knowledge, Jnana Yoga. Following this path, he becomes rooted in the contemplation of the reality. Consequently, his mundane thoughts and desires drop off. The third type, classified as active, possesses a mind and intellect more or less equally developed. He could be sometimes emotional and at other times rational. He has a mixed temperament. The path of action, Karma Yoga, caters to such a person, where both the mind and intellect are engaged. The mind surrenders to the higher ideal he works for, while his intellect channelizes action towards that ideal. Thus, with the mind and intellect set on the higher goal, he sheds his worldly thoughts and desires. The last category is the indolent. The indolent lacks both head and heart. His intellect is poorly developed. He can hardly think, rationalize, no way conceive the existence of the transcendental reality. Nor does his mind possess feeling, emotion. Far from having devotion to bow down to any altar, deity or personal god. Hence, he cannot take in spirituality either through the mind or the intellect, or a combination of both. That leaves him unfit to take up any of the above three courses. The only recourse left for him is to administer discipline forcibly through his physical body. Through the path of compulsion, Hatha Yoga. Hatha means force, oppression. Hatha Yoga is therefore a discipline administered through force. It covers a schedule of physical exercise known as asana and pranayama, and a series of other practices involving self-torture, such as standing on one leg or holding up arms for long periods, inhaling smoke, and other such torturous practices. These are undertaken as spiritual practices. They help to draw the practitioner out of his indolence, help the mind to start feeling, the intellect start thinking. He gradually grows to qualify for the other three spiritual courses. The four categories of human beings only indicate the preponderance of their respective nature. None would be wholly intellectual or emotional or combined or wholly lacking in emotion and reason. Hence, each category of persons would comprise a major portion of their respective nature with minor aspects of the other three. An aspirant has to primarily analyze and assess the proportions constituting his nature before he chooses his spiritual discipline. Thereafter, he needs to proportion the four yogas to suit his composite nature. Thus, the one categorized as intellectual would need preeminently jnana yoga, the path of knowledge, along with graduated portions of the other three yogas to fulfill the proportions of his remaining minor natures. So do the emotional and active categories need to concentrate mainly on their respective yoga and proportionately combine with other yogas. While the indolent has to plunge into Hatha Yoga with traces, practically nothing of the higher three disciplines. If an aspirant follows this methodic procedure, his spiritual development would be meteoric. But hardly anyone understands the logic and reason for such an integrated discipline, and none follows any method or system in their spiritual life. Hence, the world bitterly complains of lack of spiritual development despite their efforts in the spiritual field. The human mind is congested with selfish thoughts and desires, like cotton clogged with impurities. Bits and pieces of extraneous matter stick firmly to cotton. One cannot pull them out easily. There is a special process for purifying cotton of its impurities. It is known as carding. The impure cotton is beaten with a card, an instrument used for the purpose. the mass of clogged cotton is thinned out with the beating. Fine fibers of cotton separate and fly about. The impurities sticking to it drop down by gravity. The pure, fluffy cotton is collected. The same phenomenon takes place in the mind. The human mind is plagued with egocentric desires. They cannot be easily removed. The practice of yoga helps to free the mind of its desires like carding frees cotton of its impurities. Yoga sets up a high ideal for self-development, culminating in self-realization. The mind is drawn towards the ideal. It expands into the vastness of the ideal. As a result, the selfish desires drop off. The mind becomes purified. Thus, with constant practice of the yogas, the mind is rid of all desires except the ultimate desire for self-realization. It no more rushes to the world. It turns introvert. An introvert mind alone is qualified to meditate and attain spiritual enlightenment. Meditation is the final gateway to self-realization. The practice of the yogas takes you up to the gateway. The different disciplines purify your mind of worldly thought and desire. The mind becomes qualified for concentration and meditation. Without preparing the mind, the practice of meditation is a mockery. You cannot run before you can crawl. One cannot really meditate unless the mind is cleansed of its desires. This is a law. Both the preachers and practitioners of meditation are ignorant of this fundamental law and plunge into meditation without the initial preparation. They are lured into it because of the apparent initial feeling of peace it creates, not realizing that the peace gained is temporary. It soon wears away. Another reason for people rushing into meditation is that its procedural details are simple, easily communicable, far removed from the protracted deep study and reflection on Vedantic truths, which are difficult to convey and whose effects are slow, practically indiscernible. Hence, the temporary effect of meditation has been exploited to a point of absurdity, which has resulted in a worldwide craze, a mania for meditation. Few realize that meditation is the highest technique that a human being can learn and practice. It is the most specialized art, skill, which requires a well-prepared mind freed from worldly attachments and desires. Only a qualified mind can be trained to meditate. Meditation is the art of keeping the mind in sharp focus upon a single thought to the exclusion of all other thoughts. The mind maintains a silent chant of a mantra word symbol under the supervision of the intellect. The intellect does not allow the mind to slip into any other thought. The steady, single-pointed, conscious mental absorption in a single thought is meditation. Meditation practiced thus leads you to the ultimate state of self-realization.